we read in the book of Acts. And we're going to go back there now to chapter 4. And read again at the very end of the chapter, verse 36 and 37. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. We read about a man called Joseph. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas sold the field and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Well, we had a long series recently on the new heavens and the new earth and on Eden, and I myself have continued to study that theme since then. It's been such a rich blessing. But time to move on to something else, and I thought it would be good to do a character study and to focus in on the life of a particularly inspiring person in the Bible. We need inspiration, and I hope that we can get inspiration from looking at this person's life. We hear that word inspiration a lot today. We see it all the time being used when perhaps on television someone's been interviewed who's done something particularly inspiring, and the interviewer will say, "You're an inspiration to all of us." And it's a bit of a cliche these days, but you and I need people to inspire us, and if we can ourselves inspire others as well, then that's even better. So if we can be inspired, and if we in turn, having been inspired, can inspire others, then it's all to the good for the world that we live in. Who has inspired you? And who do you inspire? Think about that. Last time I stood in this pulpit was on Monday, taking Willie Grant's funeral service. And at that service, Sandy McVarish and myself had tributes to read to Willie. And since then, I've heard other people giving tribute to Willie, particularly about his work in Alcoholics Anonymous. And there are several people in our community who would actually say that Willie has saved their lives. And there's a lot that we could take out of his example of being willing to get up in the middle of the night and go out and help someone who'd phoned him at 4 a.m. or whatever in a desperate state. And he would go out and help them. And he helped many to find sobriety and stability in their lives again. An inspiring life, and we're very thankful indeed for Willie. And we'll miss him greatly in the congregation here. On the world stage in the last few days, we've heard of the death of Kofi Annan, former Secretary General of the United Nations. Again, a very inspiring man. I heard in one of the interviews about him a great quote that he had. And this is what he said. He said, "I believe that leadership is not about the individual. When you have macho leaders," he said, "who believe they have to shine and it has to be all about them, they forget that what is required is the welfare of society and the people they serve." I thought it was a great quote about leadership as service. We thought about that in our study on the new heavens and new earth and reigning and ruling. Leadership should be service. And just today we've heard of the passing of Senator John McCain. And again, the great mark of that man was that he served his country. And he was concerned to use the gifts and influence he had for the best of people. These people are inspiring. And we need to know about people like that. And that's why it's always good to read biographies. Always good to read the stories of people who have done good things through their lives. Because biography can inspire us and help us to see how we ourselves could do things better in our lives. And in the Bible, we've got lots of biography We've got lots of stories of different characters, some of whom we've looked over my time in ministry here. People like David, Paul, you know, well, I don't need to begin going through it, but I want to look today and over the next 4 Sundays at the life of a figure who pops up in the book of Acts several times, he's an inspiring figure. His record in the book of Acts covers about more than 20 years of time, and he's called by Luke an apostle, so he's a very important figure in the early church. He's called by the apostles themselves the son of encouragement. His birth name was Joseph, but we know him by that nickname the apostles gave him, Barnabas. Barnabas, as we read in verse 36, is a Levite from Cyprus, so he's from a significant tribe. He's a Jewish man, but he's living in a Greek island, and he is clearly, from what we read about him, a versatile man, a cosmopolitan man, a man who works easily in different cultures, who's willing to travel a lot, who's willing to rough it, and who knows how to relate to people from all different kinds of backgrounds. But today I want to focus in on the first real prominent characteristic that Luke introduces us to in his account of Barnabas, and that is his generosity. Barnabas is a generous man. He sold a field, he saw the poverty of some of the Christians in Jerusalem and their need, and it says he sold a field and brought the money, all the money, and put it at the apostles' feet. I want to explore his inspiring example of generosity. Now, in doing that, I'm certainly not implying that I think that there's a lack of generosity in the congregation here, because I'm often inspired by the generosity I see in the congregation here. If you want to tune into Coolin FM at 20 to 9 tomorrow morning, I'm going to speak about generosity. I'm going to speak to our community about how the church in this community is an incredible example of generosity in the community, and how many in the church do things like you support me, you support Timmy in his youth work, you support a lot of these people. We've got in the newsletter in different ways, you have collections for them, you're extremely generous, and that is inspiring. It's inspiring to me. But let's think about this subject, because even if we're generous, we can be more generous. Generosity starts with need. That's the first point. Generosity starts with need. And what is the need here in verses 34 and 35? It says that there were no needy people because people were selling their property to distribute to anyone who had need. And the need was that in a society where there was no social security system of any kind, anyone that was unable to work, maybe because they had a disability, or maybe they were too old, or maybe they were widowed, or maybe they're orphaned or something, anyone who didn't have money was destitute and entirely dependent on the charity of other people. Now, in Roman society, that meant they would become beggars. There was no other route. In Jewish society, there was an ethic for giving generously, and that came from the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy. There need be no poor people among you, God says, because I'm going to prosper you in the land. You don't need to have any poor people among you. And charity was a very significant part of the Jewish religion. But the church lifted that up to a new level. The church had a very well organized welfare system from the beginning. It was overseen by the apostles, Jesus' original followers. So the money, verse 37, is laid at the apostles' feet. Same again in verse 2 of chapter 5. However, the apostles found this task so time consuming that they were actually being distracted from what Jesus had told them to go and do, which was to give themselves to the ministry of the Word of God and prayer. That was their job. And because of that, if you go into chapter 6 in Acts, the apostles initiated a new office in the church, a new role in the church, the role of deacon. And the role of the deacon was, in Acts chapter 6, verse 2, to wait on tables, literally. That is, to get all the poor people to come and to feed them. And to use the money that was given to buy food to feed the poor. So if you're a deacon in the congregation today, think about your role in that light. The original role of a deacon was to feed the poor. And think about how maybe you can use your role as a deacon to further that cause, that particular way of serving God. There is need. There's plenty of need in our community and in our world. And that's the beginning of generosity, need. The second thing, though, we need resources. If we're going to be generous, we need resources. We need something to give. What have you got to give today? What have you got available to give to those in need? Some of you are saying to yourself, well, actually not very much. You're thinking you don't have very much at all. Maybe you're thinking in money terms, you don't think you've got very much money, but don't just think in money terms. You've got other resources. You've got your time. You've got your experience. You've got your gifts. You have got resources of other kinds, the money. You can be generous with these. What do you have to give? Some of you may be feeling very possessive at this moment. You might be thinking, but it's mine. And listen to what happened in the church. In verse 32 it says that all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. No one said, it's mine. No one said, you know, this field, this bank account, it's mine. What an amazing way to think. To think, it's not mine. It belongs to the family. Belongs to the church. Belongs to God. We should never be possessive in that way. And I hope we got that across to the children as well. It's such an important lesson. Barnabas had a field. We don't know about the field. We don't know whether was it in Cyprus? Was it in Jerusalem? Was it an inheritance? Was it an investment he'd bought for himself? We don't know, but it was precious. Land was precious. And he was willing to part with it. And he was willing to part with it because there was a need. He saw that the money he could get from selling the field could feed the poor. And just seeing that need and the way that he could meet that need was like a call to Barnabas. He felt, well, I can do something here. Listen to what John says in 1 John 3. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God dwell in that person? What a challenge. We've got material possessions, but we don't give them where there's need. There's no love. So Barnabas, he saw the need and he had the resources and he felt a call. He had then, the third thing then was recognition. He recognized that he could do something. He recognized a call from God that he could help that he had the resources. Here's another little quote from Kofi Annan. Kofi Annan said, and this is really pithy, just five words, "Suffering anywhere concerns people everywhere." It's not profound. Suffering anywhere concerns people everywhere. Now that doesn't mean that we have to be responsible for every instance of need all over the world. We can't be. But it does mean that we have a responsibility, and you know, we've got to play our part in alleviating suffering globally. But unfortunately, although we know that, we live in a society that's very slow to recognise that. Because society has a very individual ethic these days. It has a very self-centred ethic. It has a me ethic. It's about the individual looking after himself or herself. It's often been like that. John Calvin, writing about these verses and about the generosity of the church, he says this. He says, "In those days," he says, "the days of the apostles, they sold their own possessions. In our day," says John Calvin, that's 500 years ago, "in our day," he says, "it is the lust to purchase that reigns everywhere." Well, if John Calvin could have seen today, he'd have thought, well, his day wasn't so bad after all. The lust to purchase reigns everywhere. That's what's true of our consumer-driven society. The idea that really, if we've got the money, then we've got to have stuff with it. It's for us. Barnabas recognised that it's not for us. If we've got money, it's a resource that we can make available for others as well. And Barnabas, fourth word is the word readiness. Barnabas was ready to help. Now, it wasn't just that Barnabas was generous. Like, it wasn't like he was generous by nature. Some people have that kind of nature. They're just generous. But Barnabas wasn't generous by nature, necessarily, because he'd always had that field. And the poor had always been there. But he'd never done anything about it up until now. But something's changed in Barnabas' life. What has changed? Well, he's become a Christian. Because he's become a Christian, the poor, widows and orphans and disabled people that are in the church are his family. They're his brothers and sisters. You see that in Acts chapter 2 and also here in chapter 4, verse 32, the believers were one in heart and mind. In Acts chapter 2, they devoted themselves to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They're like a family, eating together, sharing together. Look around this morning. Look around here in this building. Look at the people. Like, lift your heads up now. Look around. Look at the people around you. Look at them. You know, if you're a Christian believer, and the people you're looking at are Christian believers, they are your brothers and sisters. They're your family. They're more of your family than the people who are genetically your family. You don't believe that? Well, yes, because the people who are genetically your family will be separated from you. Perhaps if they're not believers on the day they die. But the people who are spiritually your family, you're going to be with them forever. They're more of your family. Because they're more of your family, you have a responsibility to your family to provide for your family, to eat with them as the disciples did, to be loyal to them, to one another here, to love them, and to share what you have, your resources in common. That's what Barnabas did. He became part of the family, and that field suddenly became a resource to help the family. And not only that, but because he became a Christian, the risen Lord Jesus was his example. And as it says in verse 33, great grace was upon them all, great grace. The grace of Jesus, for you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. So we serve a Lord who sacrificed himself so that we could be rich. Doesn't mean so that we could have enough, but so that we could actually be truly rich. This week I've been meditating on this verse in John 6. Jesus said, "My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day." That's riches, to have eternal life and to look forward to the resurrection and the new heavens and the new earth. That's riches. That Jesus, by his sacrifice, has given us. And so out of those riches we have, we should be ready to share with those who are poor. So Barnabas was ready. Barnabas was ready with his possessions. He was ready with his time, his energy, his gifts. We see Barnabas in the book of Acts. He's a full-time worker in the church. He doesn't just dip into helping here and there. He works tirelessly for the church, full-time, teaching and encouraging. And not only that, Barnabas, it seems, doesn't even depend on the church to support him, as many of the other apostles do. We don't know what his occupation was, but he uses his occupation to work so that he can support himself, so that he can serve the church. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul asks the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9, this is 23 years after this, he says, "Is it only I and Barnabas who have to work for a living?" So Barnabas actually works to support himself so that he can work for the church. It's not ideal, because then he would obviously not have so much time to work for the church, but that's how he did it. That's his generosity, that's his level of commitment. So finally, righteousness. Giving is a matter of righteousness as well. And that means we have to do it for the right reasons, the right motives. To help the poor. Barnabas had a very simple motive. He just wanted to relieve the needs of people, their spiritual poverty, their material poverty. And 17 years after this, in Acts chapter 4, 17 years forward in Acts 11, we read that Barnabas is still doing it. He's not changed. We read that the disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for their brothers and sisters living in Judea in the time of a famine. And this they did, sending their gift from Antioch, 300 miles south, to Jerusalem, where the famine was, by Barnabas and Saul, it says. So Barnabas takes this gift. It would have taken him a month to get from Antioch to Jerusalem and back to Antioch again, where he was based. But he did it because it was a gift for the poor. That's his commitment. He just wants to help the poor. We contrast that with chapter 5 Acts, where we read Ananias and Sapphira. Do you know what they're doing here? They sell a piece of property, and what they actually want is to use the money in order, well, partly to keep some of it for themselves, but to use the rest of it so they can look good. That's the bottom line. It's possible to do that with money. You can be very generous, apparently, but everyone knows about it. And so what you're actually doing is you're using the money to buy a good reputation for yourself as a generous person. That's a motive as well for giving. And it's a motive that easily creeps into our hearts. We give, and what we're really giving is to be known as a good giver. Well, God knows our hearts, as Peter says, verse 3, "You've lied to the Holy Spirit." God knows. God knows this, Peter. You wonder how I know, Peter says, well, because God's shown me, because he knows. He knows what's in your heart. You have lied to the Holy Spirit. So we need to have a right motive when we're giving as well. And Barnabas had that motive. He took all the money he'd got from selling his field, and he just said, "Here you go." And it was clear from his subsequent life that it was because he cared for the poor. all around us there is need. Honestly, Willie nearly had me believing that he was destitute. He was so convincing in his act this morning with the children. But there are many people who are not acting, even in our community here and all around our world. And we've got resources. Many of those people who are in need are our family as well, our brothers and sisters. So, before we press the buy it now button, let's think about others and their needs as well. And maybe we don't need the thing we're going to buy, but they need the money that we're going to use to buy it. And it'd be much better if we gave it to them. What about that field? What about that property you've got? Maybe God's calling on you or on me to make a big sacrifice for the needs around us. To be generous in a way that only He'll know about, because we're doing it before Him and for His sake, but which will be such a blessing to other people. So we're going to follow the life of this man called Barnabas. What an inspiration. May God bless us to be moved in heart to be like Jesus, our generous Saviour.